Hello.
I think YouTube and Facebook might beg to differ.
They're used to it.
They might say.
And we haven't been here for a couple weeks, so.
I was listening to a long form podcast yesterday. I've mentioned it before, the Just Thinking podcast. Highly recommended. And they're actually, the theme yesterday was Black conservatism. And a very interesting take, and especially two Black men who said, there's no such thing. This is silly. There's, you know, your melanin is not the point. Your mind is the difference, not your melanin. Anyhow, Pastor Daryl, used to be Deacon Daryl, but Daryl B. Harrison, as he's the host, said, went on a whole kind of, not a tirade's too strong a statement, but he was talking about some folks dropping not so subtle hints via X or whatever about, you know, drop all the extra banter and so on and so forth. And he's like, listen, we go weeks between doing this as we're preparing to it, because it's like a 3-hour podcast where they're doing, you know, they take their topic, they do their homework separately. One's in Atlanta, one's in California, and then they connect. Mm-hmm. And so as they're, you know, doing this, it's like, this is just the exuberant joy of, you know, two brothers who love each other getting together. And so, listen, there's that little button down on the bottom that fast forwards, and then there's the stop. And you can just not listen if you want. It doesn't bother me at all.
Would you call our banter a result of exuberant joy?
Exuberant joy of a brother and sister who love each other.
I'll take it. It's
funny because it is, you know, just about the only time we see each other outside of church most of the time, you know. Sometimes, you know, there are different seasons.
Getting your eyes fixed.
Well, yeah, I can actually see you. Hey. That's a thing.
I'm making bread and you're getting your eyes fixed and we just got, you know, so, life. So I'm very glad to do this.
Yeah, it's what we don't want to do with our banter is waste our time. But we do enjoy the conversation. And in all seriousness, you can feel free to skip ahead for the first 5 or 10 minutes if you don't.
Or sometimes 15.
25 minutes out of a 30-minute podcast. And you're not hurting anybody's feelings or insulting anybody. And I say this specifically for my mom, who would feel like if I fast forward, I'm being insulting. I need to respect
you. Now, if we were monetizing these videos, then that'd be a different story.
But hey, to the extent that it's helpful to you and enjoyable to you, then go for it. And if you don't, this is not a monetized podcast at all. This is not something real. We're not trying to drive up followers, other than if the content is helpful, we want people to be able to access it. So that said,
the French think it's helpful.
If you, whatever your platform is, Facebook, YouTube, if it's an audio format that you're listening to, the more you like it, subscribe to the channel, share it, comment,
twist it.
I'll jump back another decade or so, and you can whip it and whip it good.
Skip it. Skip it.
As you go along, all of those things, every interaction helps the algorithm, which means it gets boosted a little bit more, so more people can see it. So if you think it's helpful or worth putting out there, then by all means, please interact with it. Just, you know, say hi in the comments, you know, any of those types of things. Word of mouth, just tell people, hey, check this out. Share with your friends.
Listen to these two weirdos.
All that kind of stuff. And
some people listen to it at 1.5 speed. Your sister.
On the audio, I'll listen to us at a much higher speed. One and a half or two. Because I already know.
It gives me anxiety.
I listen to most of my podcasts at 1.25 speed, because you really don't tell the difference all that much.
How much time does that shave off?
About 15 minutes off of an hour podcast. But, you know, somebody can correct my math if that's wrong. But if I'm increasing by 25%, I assume I'm getting to hear 25% more. But as we're looking at how we get through stuff, I want us to be able to just be us, right? Because I can't be somebody else. I tried that with middle school and that wasn't fun. So it's not going to be for everybody. We're not going to have hurt feelings if you don't think that the podcast is for you. If you do, then, you know, you can still pick and choose the parts that you like, you know, like, My wife might fast forward through some of the stuff at the beginning. And that's cool.
There's why?
Nothing wrong with that. And she's like, oh, he's talking again. But, you know.
She hears you talk a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Anywho.
Probably more than anybody needs to.
It's not a waste of time.
No, and that's kind of the goal here is to be able to interact with the Word of God and with each other in a way that is, I don't know, informal, I guess, but yet still meaningful. We want to be real. So.
We are real.
Real right. Weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so we missed a couple weeks. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue's interacting and bumping that algorithm. Thank you.
We missed a couple weeks, but we're back.
We did. Feels like forever.
It does. So now the exuberant joy is even greater.
Yes. Yes, indeed. In this on this rainy day, this rainy Thursday morning, there is something cool about it, and it's not a windy rainy day. So
right, and it's not like freezing cold.
So when I go outside, it's not a November rain. Yeah. So
when you said originally, like a couple minutes ago, said November rain, my mind, this is our different eras. My mind went to No Rain by Blind Melon.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway.
Yeah. That's.
And this is why people stop listening.
I'm pretty sure most of those people stopped a long time ago. So
anyway. So yeah, it's been a while, but we're back and
our standard 90s musical reference, because it seems
it's
like
always been a while.
It seems like our weekly podcast
Stained gets paid every time we don't.
Much more.
Aaron Lewis is just waiting.
They don't get
paid. They probably want
if he's to. Waiting, he's wasting his time.
So I wouldn't say this isn't a new series, but,
no, this is kind of a one-off bridge between, our Second Thessalonians Hold Fast series and going into this three-part series that we'll be starting Believing, Belonging, and Becoming. And so as we're making this bridge, we want to establish the foundation that the truth of the gospel, and this is kind of where we were standing on Easter, it's either real or it's not, mm-hmm. right? So either the resurrection is 100% true, or it is an absolute waste of time. And that was Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 15, which was our text on Sunday. He said, look, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus isn't raised. If Jesus isn't raised, what are you doing?
Right.
What are we even doing here, right? So this is your Ben Affleck moment. You know, what are we even doing here? And that's kind of what holds that text together. And he goes from all of the things that he's saying to the Corinthian church to this very doctrinal chapter where he says, look, I passed on to you what I received. And Paul has elsewhere made, he's made a strong point of the fact that he didn't receive this from somebody else. He received this from the Lord, and it was affirmed by the other apostles, but he didn't go to them and receive it from them. So it's not like, Paul has himself refuted the idea that, these, first century men got together and developed and created this religion. Of all of them, Paul's probably the only one who could have been qualified for such a level of thought and so on. But there's no part of the message that they're preaching that is conducive to that. Mm-hmm. There's no part of the life that they chose. We were just talking about this last night in the Desiring God study. The last chapter of the book, Piper added later on in later editions on suffering, as the sacrifice to the Christian hedonist. And so as he's looking at Paul in particular, it's like, why would you willingly, and that's what Paul said. He actually was talking about this same text, as a correlative to what Paul was saying about the life that he had lived and being beaten and so on. And it's like, why would you just voluntarily put yourself in harm's way for something you don't actually believe? Mm-hmm. Right. And so, and that's kind of Paul's right. case in 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, if this is not true, if Jesus isn't raised, excuse me, our gospel doesn't exist. Our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. You're still in your sin. You're not saved. There is no hope of this eternal life after death. And so we are of all people most to be pitied. We are the most pitiful people on earth. And it's not merely, this was our discussion last night. It's not merely that, oh, well, I chose not to do all these wicked things that the rest of the world is doing and benefiting from that. He's not suggesting that we should be wicked. He's suggesting that we should live like the Epicureans, you know, live for today, you know, la, 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 la. That we should live we should live for just the moment,
right?
Because there's nothing beyond the moment,
right?
But that's not really the point, that we gave up so much, you know, good times or whatever. We can all, I think, recognize, or most of us can recognize, that life in Christ in this world, the moral straight life, is ultimately, and actually some research just was being talked about this week that affirms this, the straight life tends to produce a greater, longer lasting happiness than the self-pursuit. You know, we have all this, and we're seeing this in our generation today, where all of the numbers from marriage and childbearing lower, later, all of these things. Happiness numbers, hugely down.
Plummeting.
Which, you know, you could look at that and say, well, that's, you know, it's correlative, not causative. And so, you know, these things are happening, but the research that, and I don't remember who came up with it, what university did the study, but they're showing that people who are married and have children are significantly happier on all happiness measures than people that don't. And so while we know that that's not true in every single case, that is a picture of a society. So when Paul says that, you know, if we only have hope in this life because of Christ, then we are to be pitied above all people. That doesn't seem to be what he's talking about, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Caligula wasn't happier than
right.
the rabbis who were living the, you know, this particular way. But in Paul's own life, he talks about his suffering and the things that he suffered for Christ, the beatings and the shipwrecks. And some of those things were caused by those who opposed Christ. Others were general suffering that he endured because he was willing to put himself in harm's way. Now that's a viral moment.
I almost fell off the chair.
But, you know, why was he shipwrecked? Because he was doing these things and spreading the gospel, he's on his way to Rome and so on and so forth. If he didn't believe that this was true,
right,
then he wouldn't live that life that put him in those situations.
Well, and didn't like 99% of the disciples die like horrible martyrdom deaths?
all but John died as
right.
martyrs, is
yeah.
my understanding. So
and so why would they, you know, you think, why would they do that if they, yeah. if, you know.
And John was in exile and,
right.
and you know, they tried to kill him too. And legend, I don't know how much is hagiography and how much is actual history, but supposedly John was they attempted to boil him in oil and it didn't take, I guess. So, you know, like, okay, well,
fried,
that doesn't
fried
fun.
John.
But
here's what grinds my gears all the time is that most people,
manual transmissions.
That would be a broken car because I can't do that. Oh, hi, Emma. Miss you too.
Oh, hey.
Hello, baby.
Hey,
not
mama.
You, your baby. That would be weird.
We wouldn't want to do weird.
Most people believe that Jesus, the man, existed as a historical.
Suzanne was just kind of going off on this
yeah.
recently that, you know, how do we. There are a lot of things that we can question,
right?
But you can your conclusions and stuff.
Right.
But you're talking about strong historical evidence. And
right.
You can't really get away from
right.
it.
Right. So I think even a lot of people that don't believe in the gospel believe that Jesus was a real person who existed right. historically.
And if not, they're just not trying.
Correct.
Not thinking.
So I don't understand how you can just like halfway believe something. And
yeah.
and as you talked about, it's probably in here somewhere. You know. The Christian faith isn't just one where you say, yeah, I believe everything and never question anything. And right. It's a reasoning faith. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is in there. So it's not like, and maybe because there are some in every bunch, maybe there are believers who just blindly believe because it's what they were brought up with or what they were told or whatever. But that's not necessarily what we're supposed to be doing here.
No, I do tend to think, at least in the contemporary American church, I can't speak beyond that. I think that I don't think I would be remiss in saying, I think it's the majority.
Hmm.
I think the majority of people in our society choose not to wrestle with things that are challenging. Well,
don't you think that's what creates so many issues?
100%
Like with the church, I mean?
I think that's the problem with our discipleship. And it's, I think it's part of the problem with modern evangelicalism in general is, and not to take everything back to the Reformation. See, this when men don't always think of the Roman Empire,
you think of the
Some of us always think of the 16th century Reformation.
Gosh.
But anyway, as you know, when the Protestant Reformation took place, one of the things that Pope Leo, by pretty much all accounts, even among Catholics, seen as a corrupt and rather vile individual, one of the things that he said was, this is going to create all kinds of schism. You're going to have all sorts of error and private interpretation and so on and so forth. And he wasn't entirely wrong with that. And we've seen how many church splits over denominations and so on. But what we ended up with in many ways today in what we call modern evangelicalism, which I would contend is probably a lot more modern than it is evangelical. The core meaning of evangelical is lost in our day. Mm-hmm. You know, what evangelical is gospel centered. This, we believe in the gospel and spreading the gospel and the authoritative word of God. And that's not what we're seeing in a lot of evangelical world. We're seeing a lot of the light, fluffy, you know, because people will understand what I'm saying. I'll use the term mega church, even though I don't think that's really the best, you know, way of looking at it. But when we see these, you know, what's the picture we have in our minds, the Elevation Church, the, you know, the Lakewood and these massive churches, right, that are, there's a lot of entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And they're super cool.
Pyrotechnics. Light shows.
Right. You're literally having that kind of stuff like on concert, Sunday mornings. Yeah. And, you know, we have people listening right now who are thinking, well, what's wrong with that? You know, give the people what they want kind of stuff. And, you know, we've said so many times here and elsewhere, when you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh, you know, and the way you win someone is the way you must maintain that. Right. So if we bring somebody in with entertainment and consumerism and, you know, come and get from the church,
right,
rather than them kind of getting into the next series here, then we have to keep on doing it. We have to keep on entertaining.
Right.
We have to keep on giving, you know, hey, come to church and we'll give you a free, you know,
right,
a free cruise. Well, now you got to keep giving out free cruises to keep people coming. Are there angels?
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yeah. So, you know, it is very much this idea, this Chuck E. Cheese mentality of church that is not what the gospel is about. It's not what evangelicalism is about.
Hey, Jeremy.
And when we say evangelicalism, again, we're not talking about some weird branch of Christianity. That's right. A Reformation term that you know, Luther and the other reformers used. In fact, that was when it really first came up as a term, was pointing out the difference between just doing church as this is what we do. We're baptized as children. And most of the reformers, the majority of the magisterial reformers still did paedobaptism and infant baptism. Wrongly, but that's what they did. And a whole bunch of our paedobaptist friends are going to be very upset with me for
clutching
saying
their pearls.
But if you didn't know that, you probably haven't been paying attention to where we are. We believe in believer's baptism, credo baptism. Anyhow, as they made that transition to say, look, we can't just be here as nominal Christians going through the motions. This is either the truth of God's word given by God himself, in which case it is everything, or this whole thing is a sham.
Right.
Right. And that was what they were experiencing at the time. The interrelation of the church and the state, we think of that as, you know, just intrinsically bad, right? That wasn't how they thought of things then. But but the nature of what happened from that created this cultural Christianity, which we have today in different ways. Now we're kind of in what many call the post-Christian society, so that we, you know, when you think of like, you know, the old sitcoms of, you know, Andy Griffith and so on and so forth, you know, all of these types
Little
of
House
things,
on
Little House on the Prairie, you're going to see Judeo-Christian values woven all through those things, even in unbelieving settings, because that's the foundation of Western civilization.
Right.
And now we're moving away from a lot of those shared values. And so we don't have the same cultural Christianity that we used to have. There's still vestiges of that, but it's not what it used to be. And so, you know, even on Sunday, talking about Richard Dawkins coming out, calling himself a cultural Christian and so on, as an angry, what you might say, an evangelistic or evangelical atheist, is somebody who is recruiting people away from belief in God.
But he likes Christmas music.
He likes cathedrals. He likes the Christianity is better for society than Islam is his take on it. And he's not wrong. But wow. I consider myself a Bears fan, but I don't actually like the Bears. You know, I hate music, but you know, I'm going to be a music teacher or whatever. There's just so many ways that this just doesn't fit. Doesn't work.
It turns Christianity.
Smart dude, but obviously not smart enough.
It turns Christianity into kind of like an attraction, you know, something to.
Right.
I don't know how to.
Well, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, I don't know if it's on the podcast or in person, but I have an aversion to even using the term Christianity because it puts us in the same boat as world religions, as if Christianity is a religion, a man-made way of getting to God. And if you, you know, if you're part of this tribe or this group, then, you know, Christianity is for you. If you're part of this group, then Islam is for you,
right.
or Judaism or Baha'i faith or whatever. And that's just not what we're talking about. We're talking about claims that the Bible claims to be the only truth. Jesus claimed to be the only way, truth, and life, and there is no other option, which is why Paul can say, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15, if it ain't this, it ain't nothing. You're either all in with Jesus or you have no hope to hold on to. The rest is meaningless.
So I have a question that's slightly off topic,
okay,
but sort of not.
Well, that would be closer than we usually are.
So what about people who, I don't know, they grow up in, I don't know what they practice in India, Buddhism. What about somebody who
Hindi,
whatever. Yeah. Someone born in India, they practice Hinduism.
Hinduism. Hindi is the language. So,
they practice they're born into a Hindu family. They practice Hinduism their entire life. They never hear the gospel. Because there's a lot of people I feel like that who are maybe just born into a situation where this is the religion.
Right.
This is what you're going to practice. This is all you're going to be immersed with your entire life. Period.
Yeah.
So is there just no hope for those people from birth?
We missed the opportunity for this podcast in recent conversations with the youth group and also in the Desiring God studies, because we're really looking at this. Are all people saved because of Jesus?
Right.
So.
And we only have a few minutes, so it's probably a loaded question to ask. But.
It is great timing, which we could continue it after we get done with the audio version, but it's that paywall content,
right.
If we had a paywall. But as we're looking at it, the Romans 1 and 2 really kind of lays it out, especially Romans 1 gives us the scenario for it. We all have enough sense. Allie Beth Stuckey was talking about this.
McDonald's noon.
get
the
a
value
McStuckey.
Meal. That sounds awful.
Was talking about this after the eclipse. She didn't care that much about it. And then she watched it and was like, wow, how awesome is God? You know, and bottom line is, how can you see all these things around? Or what were we talking about just before?
Fig wasps.
The fig wasps. You know, how can you see this and think, oh yeah, this is just all randomly happening?
Yeah.
So we know that there's a God,
right?
And we know some things about God from creation. And we have to talk ourselves out of, out of God. So we know enough from nature, general revelation, from human conscience to to be accountable for our sinfulness. And yet we are all sinful. Mm-hmm. And therefore we are all judged. Mm-hmm. And so John 3, 16, 17, 18, you know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 17, the son didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world, right? That the world might be saved through him. 18 points out what that 17 is talking about, which is explaining 16, which is going back to the previous stuff. And 18 says that if you believe in the Son, then you're not condemned. If you don't believe in the Son, you're already condemned. He didn't have to come to condemn the world because you're already condemned. That's the natural state of all of us. Sure. Everyone, everywhere, all the time, period. Right. All saved, all condemned. Some then are rescued by him. And so those who believe in him receive this mercy from God that takes us out of that. So those who don't have Christ don't have hope. That's right. The struggle. So that's why what Piper calls frontier missions, going to those places where people don't have the gospel. It's so important. This is why Christians give up their lives so that others can know the truth of the gospel. And not that you're going to go and build some empire or network or colonizing situation, because throughout the history of the church, most missionaries actually do sacrifice the things of this life. They don't, you know, become famous. They mm-hmm. don't become wealthy. Instead, you're giving up the pleasures of this world because you know that the reality of life with Christ is greater. It's bigger. You know that this person, this 10-year-old child in Bangladesh who has never heard of Jesus is going to go to hell. Mm. And you can't abide that. And my friends and my neighbors are going to go to hell, and I can't abide that. And so I want to do everything I can. I can't make choices for people. I want to do everything that I can to make sure that they know God has offered you a rescue. You are condemned, literally damned. And that's your natural state, because we are sinners and our sinful state is hostile to God. We don't submit to God naturally. And all of these other man-made religions are that you're feeding starving children with poisoned food. That's not going to help. And so, and that's the same thing that happens when we tell people, you know, God loves you just the way you are. Actually, he does. But as my mom always told me, he also loves you far too much to let you stay that way. Hmm. So God is angry with the sinner every day, with the wicked every day. His wrath burns against sin. All that falls short of his standard, all that falls short of his glory must be destroyed and will be. Well, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of his glory. So that's all of us. And the only way out of that is to cling to Jesus Christ, which is why all of the cultural Christianity idea, we go to church because, you know, we need a place to feel like we fit in, and it becomes another social club or whatever else. All of that kind of stuff is an utter waste of time. The truth of the whole matter is that Christianity is an absolute waste of time unless it's absolutely true. And if it is true, then I really wanted to spend some time talking about your song, because it was kind of just astonishing how God brought this together. He's either everything or he's nothing. There is, if it's not true, then stop. Just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you die, you know. But that's not it, right? Because he is raised. And that's what Paul's conclusion here in 1 Corinthians 15 is. But the good news is Jesus did rise from the grave. He is alive. And therefore, when you place your hope in him, when you grasp him, and you hold fast and cling to this truth, then you have eternal life with him. And it's not a waste of time.
Okay, we will stop there. Thank you for answering my question. We'll stop there, and we are starting a new series this coming week.
We are, see? Yes. Yep.
All right, so join us for that, either in person if you're here in Southwest Lower Michigan, or you can check out our live stream on Sunday mornings or the podcast version afterward, and we will catch you next week. Thank you guys for listening.